Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back in. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Back from vacation. I have missed you. Love my son. Love my family. But I miss talking to myself and you in the afternoon. Back from Estes Park. Good times. No dispensaries before you take odds and lose money at the office. Lots of breweries, though. Hey, guess what? Nebraska football is back. I'm not declaring it like Notre Dame got declared. Well, they're back. Excuse me. That was Texas. Texas beat Notre Dame like 2 years ago on their way to a 4-8 or 5-7 season, and they got declared back. Scott Frost not ready to say his Huskers are back. Didn't even vote him in the top 25. Good question by Dr. Petey, a Hail Varsity on that. They got to earn it. How do you earn it? We'll get into it. Hope you're well. Great to be with you. And you can join us today on Hail Varsity Radio. Numbers to dial up, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And give us a find and follow on Twitter. You can tweet at me, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt underscore radio. Will Bauer is in, and I don't know what type of product you use in your hair, Will, but it looks marvelous, sir. At Willie underscore Bauer is where you find him on Twitter. So lots of Nebraska football to get into. It is fan day, so when I was leaving the press conference, folks were starting to roll in. That was around 2:45-ish or so. So the meter spots were being taken up. And we talked about this on the KFOR morning show, about $5 to park. Some folks are appalled by that. Brother, you're paying $25 to park on Saturdays. If they want to get you for $5, you're getting free autographs, hopefully for your kids or your grandkids. And if you're a guy that's got a Husker helmet signed for every year for X number of years in your Husker den, that's cool too. As long as you're not saying, hey, Adrian, sign this for me, and then boom, at 9:30, it's up on eBay.
Did you see the microwave that was signed earlier this week?
I did. Roby signed a microwave. He was out at South Point. Junior wanted me to stop by. I was like, no. Love you, Roby, but we're not doing that. We're missing a microwave here at our station. Somebody put something in the microwave, left the door ajar, and all hell broke loose, apparently. And I don't know if it was broccoli or fish in the microwave, but yes, there's been a microwave mishap here in the Lincoln Studios. But hey, Nebraska is back. Toughness, a topic of discussion. Let's kind of run down. We're going to hear a lot today from Scott Frost. We're going to hear from Jack Stoll. We talked to the talented tight end out of Colorado, and we talked to him. We asked for an interview with his mullet. The mullet politely declined. And we'll hear from Mike Babcock, 44 years of college football excellence. Babbers with us in 15 minutes. We'll get in touch with Brandon Vogel. I have missed Vogues. I don't know that he's missed me. And then Jack Stoll, our conversation at 5:25 coming up. So you got the kickoff to the year. You have Fan Day tonight. We'll kind of talk Fan Day thoughts because I went to two of them as a kid and had a great time. I'm anxious to figure out what's the craziest thing that gets asked to be signed tonight. And if there's a former cheerleader that goes a bit too far, or if it's, because didn't Frost sign like babies last year? Didn't some player, like, they were asked to sign a baby? There was a baby that was asked to be signed last year, or one or two babies. Pretty sure.
That's dedication.
No, that's crazy. That's frightening. And I'm sorry, but, okay, Will, you play Scott Frost for a minute. Put your hat on, put a chaw in. and get a Sharpie. If someone walks up to you and says, hey, can you sign my forearm? Because I want to get it inked. Would you?
Oh, my gosh.
That can happen.
You can't deny him, though, but, oh, that's such like a...
I would have a, depending on the person, a no-skin policy.
That's fair. That's fair.
I'll tell you about a story about a tailgate party one time that was the con of all time. It was wonderful. Here's what we got going. The team is meeting this afternoon, may have already met, and they'll get ready for fan day. Frost very happy with the progress. We'll hear more from Coach Frost here in his press conference coming up. The thing that you like, and you hear coaches talk about the fact that in year two, you may have some disgruntled folks, right? Year one, all right, it's new, we'll give it a shot. If there's not a place for me or a role I like, there could be frustration and less buy-in. That is not the case per Scott Frost for Nebraska, okay? He says there's very, very few guys that are not 100% in. And if they're not, don't worry. They'll either get left behind or they'll get drugged by the guys that are all in. Depth on defense, specifically defensive line, is good. Cam Jurgens continues to get healthy. He is going to start on the 110-man roster, but he will not be the guy snapping the football. That'll be Will Farniok and perhaps Trent Hickson battling for that center spot. We'll have more from Coach Frost on Maurice Washington, his situation. And with the top 25, Nebraska is on the outside looking into the preseason poll. This came out a little bit before 11. And as a Nebraska football fan, I get you. I hear you. That man, you want Nebraska to kind of return to their normal spot. And when I'm saying normal, I'm air quoting, because growing up for me and growing up for a lot of you, Nebraska, if Nebraska wasn't in the top 10, you're like, well, I don't know how the team's going to be this year. And then I'm not even going to call it slipping, okay, because breakage happened with Grandpa, okay, where you went 6-7, then you went 9-4, and then you went 4-8. Last year's 4-8 was not fun for a lot of fans, but it was kind of a growing pain, necessary evil, out with the old and with the new and good. But the final 4-8 under Grandpa, I mean that was not slippage, that was breakage, right? I mean the program almost broken. And you've had two decades of the program hitting different icebergs, okay? So when it comes to being a top 25 team, Nebraska's found their way in to the top 25. Nebraska's even finished in the top 25 a handful of times. And Coach Pelini, you can say what you want about Bo, but his guys won 9 or 10 games and they'd finish ranked. They'd get blown out and that would suck. But listen, it wasn't just Bo's teams that got half 100 put up on him. I mean, it went from bad to worse that way. So the whole principle of earning it and toughness, those are the two themes that I took away most from the press conference. And those are the two things that are going to be preached and preached and preached this year. And you've got to do a great job of pumping the brakes on 18 to 22 year olds, because they can have a really good game against a big time opponent and have a big win, but it's got to be a consistency thing. Mike Riley beat number 6 Michigan State, who went to the college football playoff. You can have a one-hit wonder, all right? You can be a good songwriter and a wonderful singer. But are you going to be Pink Floyd or the Eagles, or are you going to be Right Said Fred? And Will's like, who's Right Said Fred? Google early 90s Brit pop. Don't do it now. I don't want you to infect the computer. With Nebraska here, listen, the top 25 would be fun, and maybe the AP puts Nebraska in there. What is true about this top 25, there's a lot of respect for the Big Ten. 7 Big Ten teams, 6 SEC teams, 2 top 10 teams. Guess who, right? Ohio State over Michigan. Ohio State comes in at 5, Michigan at 7. And then you have Penn State at 14, Wisconsin at 17, Iowa 19, Sparty 20, Northwestern in at 25. Good for Fitz. Good for Northwestern. Nebraska comes in at number 26. So you gotta go earn it. Frost did not vote Nebraska as a top 25 team. They got to go get it. Let's talk about how you become a top 25 or better team. And that is going to be the toughness factor. The reality that Nebraska football is a tough football team again. And they haven't been tough for a long time. Easy for the asthmatic behind the microphone to call somebody soft. I get it. But when you watch Nebraska football, and if you've grown up with it, Nebraska may get beat, but they never got physically dominated like they have in recent years. And how does that happen? It's a first and foremost a mentality and then a physicality. And you've got the word out. And it started with Wisconsin and Iowa. This is after the bow years. I mean, Nebraska gave up a lot of big plays to Wisconsin over the years. But Wisconsin, I mean, for the most part, Wisconsin really just lined up and would slam it down your face. You couldn't stop the run game. They couldn't stop the run game up the middle, same with Iowa. And to be ranked, to be a West Division threat, to be a contender, it's going to take that toughness Coach Frost talks about. You got to take those two teams down to climb up the ladder. You got to be as talented. I think you have talent. You have speed. You have athleticism. You have guys that a lot of college football programs want and could use. But are you going to be able to be the team that can stop getting your teeth kicked in at the line of scrimmage? Old school, boring football, but God, it is so powerful on the line of scrimmage. And can you be the team that is going to outlast somebody else and doesn't wear down and doesn't lose in the phone booth on the line of scrimmage? Coach Frost here, let's do cut eight to start out. He is touching on the toughness factor. What's one thing he wants from his team? What's one thing that he needs to see from his football team? And it all kind of follows suit, right? Be a ranked football team. Be a team that is contending for the West. Be a team that can find its way to Indy. Be a team that can play in a big-time bowl game. All of those things you want back as a Nebraska fan. And the hope starts today with the beginning of camp and practice tomorrow. But it all hinges on how tough this football team's going
to
be.
I want this team to prove that it can be tough. We have some tough guys on the team, for sure. We have some other guys I think are going to be tough. We have some young guys that still have to prove it. But to win in this league, you got to be tough and you got to be physical. I think our talent level, our speed, our strength, all those things is going to be considerably better this year. But it doesn't matter if you don't go hit somebody in the face on the field. And we need to block and tackle with that kind of mentality.
Amen. You know why he gets it? Because that's him. He's a tough quarterback turned head coach. He's a tough dude. And that's how Nebraska was great for 50 years. They were better than you, but they were also tougher than you. And kind of get back to being Nebraska. And you do that by tough. More from Frost. And listen, you saw a team that fought and scrapped a year ago, but eventually when push came to shove, that they couldn't stop. They could not stop Wisconsin early in the year. They found a way to shut it down and be in contention against Iowa, even though they were down a couple of scores. But Iowa just ran the football, man. And that's on the front seven. How many times did Nebraska get short yardage conversions, trying to run the football? As good a back as Ziggy is, did he have holes to do it? Not always. Not if you were going up the gut. not for lack of effort or want to. You just couldn't out punch somebody else's line of scrimmage against Northwestern, against Colorado, against Iowa. More from Frost, examples of toughness. This gives you a glimmer of hope. The Michigan State game last year, because that was a tough football game. That was a snow-filled football game. That was man-to-man.
You know, I think our team showed some grit and character in Michigan State game for sure. That was a good team that we played. Definitely one of the better defenses we played. And our guys found a way. You know, good teams, disciplined teams, and tough teams find ways to win instead of finding ways to lose a game. And toward the end of the year, we are starting to do that.
Hey, it's a process, and I know that's Saban's favorite thing, but it is so, so true with a football program and expectations. More from Scott Frost, more on Nebraska Tough. And if this team can be what he wants them to be, prove to be tougher than your opponent. A guy that is extremely tough. Mike Babcock is up next. We'll talk some Nebraska football 2019. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Shortly, he doesn't like all this accolade, but I'm going to call him Mr. College Football, Mike Babcock, of Hail Varsity. Shortly, Jack Stoll and his mullet in 1 hour. Husker tight end Brandon Vogel, Vogues, will join us shortly. We want to tell you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion in airbags. Aren't enough? Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield to stop your forward momentum? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when you and your vehicle need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Give us a find on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at @Schmidt_radio, at @Willie_Bauer, and for all your Husker info, it's Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, are you fired up? Do you have the eye black on?
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Let's play ball.
Can we play ball now? We still have a month before kickoff, but at least it kind of started today.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a month to build up this thing even bigger than it is.
Hey, I love that Frost didn't even vote his own team in the top 25. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. I think that's consistent with his character, and I was glad to hear that as well. I don't think Nebraska belongs in it there yet. I think Nebraska has to earn it. I think he understands that, and I think that he voted accordingly.
Let's talk about earning it, Babbers. And this is a football program that's trying to climb its way back. And it feels, if we're talking about climbing, right, and clearly you're not at the top of the mountain, you're not at the bottom anymore either. And I don't know where they're at on this climb, but clearly they're not looking up at the mountain. What do you think about the toughness angle? That's where we started talking last segment to start the show off. And you've been around a lot of Nebraska football teams, and one thing the majority of them always had under Coach Osborne and even under Coach Bo was toughness as a whole. What did you take away with how Coach Osborne and Coach Frost has bought into this to kind of manufacture that toughness, that process of it?
Well, you know, I think it's important. I think what Scott said about Coach Osborne speaking to his team at Central Florida before the remarkable year that they had, and about going one-on-one 2 days a week on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, they matched up the top units against each other, and you know, Scott talked about that a little bit, the need to have enough depth to do it, and he feels like they do now. They did it a little bit, he said, last year, but it sounds like they're going to do it more now. I think that's important. I thought that was an important thing that that Coach Osborne decided to do. It kind of evolved as he was a coach. And you match up your best players against each other in practice, because if you're just constantly going against a scout squad, you don't get quite the sense of the speed of the game, the sense of what you're going to find on Saturday when you're playing a team in a different colored uniform. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that you would talk to some of those guys, Scott included, that played during that time. They would tell you, and not totally exaggerating, that the toughest times were during the week in practice, and that Saturdays was a little bit different. It wasn't as tough as what you were doing. Now, certainly when Scott was playing, you know, his senior year, you're talking about Grant Wistrom, you're talking about Jason Peter. You're going against those guys in practice, and that's a whole different thing. And you're getting a sense of what it's going to be like on Saturday. I thought that was important, and I thought that was one of the things that I took away from today's news conference, is that they're going to do that.
It is extremely important to be physical and be live, and it's easier said than done, Mike, because not many people go live or are physical. You've got a different era of college football, and I understand safety, and I understand injury prevention. But you look at some of the teams that are always in the top four or six, I would bet money that Nick Saban probably goes live 8 days a week.
Well, yeah, and again, you have to have the depth to be able to do it. And certainly, you know, injury prevention is an important thing across the board. But if you do it during practice, I think it puts you in a position. I don't know if the word is toughness or exactly what, but it probably helps you on Saturday. I think you're less likely to have injuries on Saturday if you've gone through it during the week, if I'm making any sense.
No, you are.
Because you're learning what it's like and how you have to play in order to deal with that kind of physicality.
No, and guess whose physicality you're trying to match and exceed? If we're talking expectations, I mean, you're trying to be as good or better than Iowa and Wisconsin, two teams you got to take down along with everybody else in the West, right? And Wisconsin and Iowa are a whole different animal. They've been a whole different animal in the Big Ten.
Well, yeah, and that's, you know, that's what Scott said, was that in order to play and be competitive in the Big Ten, it's a physical league and you have to be physical. And I think the physicality is again, a point of emphasis. Obviously, you've got to have speed, athleticism. You've got to have those other things. I think Nebraska has those things, but the physicality is the thing that puts you, the toughness is the thing that puts you over the top. And again, in the Big Ten, that's what you have to have in order to be successful.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, at MD Babs on Twitter. It's where you follow him. And getting ready for Nebraska 2019 is fan day tonight, and you have the kickoff to the season tomorrow with practice number one. Babbers, we've hit on toughness. That is key. We've kind of touched a little bit on expectations. Let's talk about the center position, because that is of utmost importance when we continue to talk about toughness and being able to run the football and protect Adrian Martinez. You have Cam Jurgens that will not start at center from a health perspective, but is still on the 110. How do you feel about the guys behind Cam?
Well, you know, I think I'm not concerned about it the way some people you know, that I've talked to. It's like, well, if Cam Jurgens can't go, you know, what are they going to do? I mean, he's still a work in progress as well. We know he's a tremendous athlete. He has that athleticism and the size now that he didn't have, you know, when he came in as a tight end. But he had development. You know, he was going to develop. The same thing, Will Farniok's going to start there at center. Yeah, Scott also mentioned Hunter Miller, who's had some experience there. You know, it's a development process for them as well. So, you know what? That's what fall camp is. You know, even if Cam Jurgens had been able to go and had started out as the number one center, he still has to develop and earn that job. So, no, I don't think that's a point of concern for me. There, it's, you know, that's Will Farniak is going to start there. He's going to develop. He's got a year's worth of experience in the program. He knows what it's all about. You know, his brother Matt talked today to the reporters. He said, "I'm a little harder on him, maybe than I should be. I don't back off." I don't feel bad about that position. I think it's important to develop. You know, and when Cam Jurgens gets back, and obviously they have great expectations for him because they included him on the one pin, even though he can't go right away. You know, he'll be in the competition. But again, he has to develop. So, no, I'm not concerned about it. I think that's it's competition's good as well. So that's another factor.
Babbers, what'd you think of Lamar Jackson today?
Well, I think he shows the maturity that he didn't show when he first got here. I think that's important. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a leader in the secondary. And, you know, he has the athleticism, he has the skills. He just needed to have the right attitude. I think he's got that.
So, Babbers, are we chalking up 12-0?
No, we're not. no, I think we got to be realistic about that. But, you know, again, you're 4-8, but down the stretch you showed, I think that it was a different team than it was at the beginning of the season. There was a development there. We see another now. We've got that development. We got fall camp. We've got what happened in the summer working with Zach Duvall. I think it's a much different team to start this season. And, you know, it's going to be, I think Nebraska is going to be very competitive in the West Division of the Big Ten. But, you know, it's a week-to-week thing, certainly. South Alabama can't look any further than that.
Mike Babcock's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Babbers, about 2 minutes. Your piece today on HailVarsity.com, Tom's Time. And kind of looks back, and the 84 season followed the scoring explosion of 83. He had an incredible black shirt defense in 84. And what were you thinking about the team as they headed into 84? I mean, you know, they were picked number two, which is incredible because of who they lost on offense.
Yeah, well, but that's the respect that Nebraska had at that point, you know, and you'd gone through the you'd gone through the 81, 82, 83 seasons, any one of which, you know, depending upon how you twist things a little bit, Nebraska could have been, even in 82, you know, given that Penn State game, throw that out because of that sideline deal, Nebraska wins that. Nebraska could have played for a national title. Things had gone right in the 82 Orange Bowl against Clemson. The way things played out in the bowl games, Nebraska could have conceivably been national champion that year. You got 3 years leading up to it. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is there's the respect that you've earned, and even though you lose the scoring explosion, you lose Mike Rozier, Turner Gill, Irving Pryor, and Dean Steinkuhler, you've got that defense, nine guys back. You still have that opportunity, and you had the respect. You were ranked number two going into the season. When you lose, you only drop to 8, and you move right back up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the respect that you earned in the three previous seasons.
Mike, can't wait for it. Good to see you today. Thanks for making time today. And looking forward to another year, bud.
Great in talking to you, Smitty. Thanks for having me on.
There he is. Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer, 44 years of college football and counting. More thoughts from Coach Frost on the way with Hail Varsity.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, and big thanks to Mike Babcock. 25 minutes, it is Brandon Vogel time, and then a man in his mullet. Jack Stoll, going to be with us. All right, Will, got to ask you. You're a sophomore, junior?
Going to be a junior.
Right. You are accelerating through the broadcasting school because you're a smart dude. Question. So you're a North Dakota / Minnesota guy. So you know all about the cold weather and the hockey and the just outdoor tough. All you kids from North Dakota, Minnesota, you're tough kids.
I like to think so.
You're hard workers. You're tough kids.
Yeah.
And you're one of those sneaky guys that you get pushed too far, you're going to lose it and drop gloves, and you'll go Hanson Brothers here with foil on your knuckles. That's
correct.
How I see you. You're
correct.
Silent but deadly. When you got to Nebraska, you thought what about the football program? Did you think they were tough?
No.
And what broke your heart / proved that to you?
Oh, probably that Northern Illinois game.
Okay.
Third game of the season. I mean,
a year ago.
Yeah, I'm kind of a guy that...
Were you giving them benefit of the doubt your freshman year?
Mm-hmm, yeah, benefit of the doubt.
Because they started undefeated.
They started undefeated, and, I mean, they were switching to the 3-4, and, you know, it was just like, you know, sometimes it takes time for coaches to establish themselves. You know, not everyone goes 13-0 in year two. But, yeah, it was that game that, and then just kind of continued. It wasn't great.
Mm-hmm. And, it's part of the maturity process, too, where you got to get the work put in and then see the results. And you hear it 1,000 times, but be mentally tough enough to stay the course. Easier said than done when your confidence gets shattered and shaken because you're getting curb stomped. Minnesota, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you get what I mean, where Fleck and company roll for 50 and run all over you. Tough to take, but the process is getting flipped around, and that's part of this optimism. Listen, you're excited because ... what? You're excited because you're head coach, you're excited because you're quarterback, you're excited because of your schedule, you're excited because of the depth you have on the defensive line, and that the defense will be attacking and better and more comfortable in a second year. We can just rattle off all the reasons the beer's half full or full. Why 2019 will be banner and memorable for Nebraska. And if they hit 9 or 10, that's exceptional. That's ahead of schedule. It just is. Because of all of the bricks you got here to put into this structure you're moving with. And it is, no doubt, I'm just rambling about being tough, man, but that is your defining characteristic. That is your definition. That is your visual definition of Nebraska football. Were they always the fastest team? No, then they got fast, but they've always been tough. And this is the league where, God, it just eats you up between the weather and the schedule and the teams and the stacking of the schedule. It murders really tough football teams. And you got to find a way. More from Coach Frost here about training toughness. So you want to go recruit kids that are tough. You want to go find tough kids. And if you find kids that are super phenomenal athletes, at least make them tough. Get them tough or make them tough. You'd prefer to get them tough versus trying to make them tough. But a guy, case in point, Lamar Jackson, he's a guy who didn't want to get his nose in the middle of it. He has transformed right now. You got to see a second season of it. You saw half of a season of it last year. But he is a perfect example of a guy you can make tough, who's got all the physical tools through coaching, through encouragement, through training. And here is Coach Frost on that training process.
Toughness is a mentality. I think a lot of it's earned in the off season, in the weight room, and on the field, and in ways like that. But listen, we're also going to have physical practices. We're going to hit each other and compete in practice. And if you ask me what made our team tough when I was playing, it was the day-to-day challenge of going up against some of the guys that you had to go up against. And you know, we're going to have a lot of live periods. We're going to have a lot of competitive periods, and I hope our guys get comfortable in that kind of arena where they're having to go to battle with some other really good player and try to come out on top.
Babers hit on it, and you saw the plan from day one with Coach Frost asking for and wanting more numbers. He needs more players on the field so you can go smash somebody in live sessions. Twice a week, every week, all season, and then during spring ball. And not much contact, if any, during the summer. But it's, you need bodies to do it. If you want to develop your third team guy to be as good as your second team guy, or eventually have your third team guy rise up to be a first team guy, they got to practice and they got to go get good at mauling people and then figuring out how to respond if they do get their butt kicked in a drill or on a play in a non-game situation. Last part, I loved this. Coach Frost going story time with Coach Osborne. Babers touched on it a little bit, but just what Coach Osborne brought to his speaking engagement down at Central Florida before year two kicked off. And that was a huge thing for that Central Florida team, specifically the coaching staff that implemented it for an undefeated season.
I guess I can tell you guys a story. We had Coach Osborne come down and speak to our team in Orlando right before year two during camp. There's a million things that were valuable that he said, but one of the things that made an impression on us as a staff was him reminding us that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, even during the season, we had live periods, ones-on-ones. And we adopted that year. You always run a risk as a head coach when you make that decision because you can get somebody tweaked or hurt in practice, but the benefit that we thought we gained from that, just staying sharp, kind of refining our toughness and grit, I think was more valuable than any potential risk of getting someone injured. That's a tough decision to make as a head coach, but I think it paid off that year. I think we're deep enough, or getting close to deep enough this year, that we're going to be able to do some of the same things. So
that is big. And again, to the depth, Scott Frost going to Bill Moose, need more numbers, need more players, and here's why, and we'll see if it pops in year two with a team that's full of toughness. And you, man, I remember talking to Barry Alvarez. We talked to Barry the Badger a couple, three times a year, man, and he is adamant about saying you're going to need to win a football game with a second or third team offensive lineman and maybe a second or third team running back in November in the Big Ten. Don't think you can go unscathed. Now that development's happening. We'll wind down hour one. Brandon Vogel and Mr. Mullet, Jack Stoll. Tremendous tight end coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you one final time this hour, Brandon Vogel and Jack Stoll. Coming up next hour, Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. And let's hear from Jack Stoll, specifically his time at the podium, showing off that glorious mullet. But here's what you need to know about Stoll. Stoll's got that fire burning. He's a junior, Colorado native. Career high 51 receiving yards, I think, against Northwestern. Had a touchdown grab against Iowa. And Stoll's a guy that is got a great personality and sense of humor, but I think he's got that drive. And when just push comes to shove, and we'll hear from him coming up at 5:25, he's one of those difference makers, those weapons, right? That. And if you're a Nebraska football fan, you think about the tight ends, right? I mean, tight ends like Gerald Armstrong. Dude had like 17 career catches, 9 were for touchdowns. I'm exaggerating and underrating. not the 50% thing at all, but just how many actual catches and touchdowns he had. Or Johnny Mitchell, right? Or... God, number 11, Harrion. That guy was phenomenal. And that's kind of the old school I formation option right offense. Okay. Junior Miller. Where they are big and fast and they beat the hell out of a safety trying to cover them. And they are too fast for a linebacker. And in this offense, I mean, I think one of the best plays Nebraska has is the fake little zone read pop seam pass to a tight end for give me 12 or better. Stoll's fired up. He's ready to go. And he is adamant about his goal this year and what Nebraska is not.
I didn't come here to go 4-8, as I've said before. I came here to, you know, put a ring on my finger and win the Big Ten. So, you know, that's just something that, you know, personally, that's how I feel. That's the reason why I came to Nebraska, and I know that's how a lot of other people feel too.
So let's walk things ahead for a moment. Let's fast forward, right? Camp starts tomorrow. Fan day is 30 minutes away. Cool. So let's walk it past that. Let's get to the week after Iowa. We're all fat and happy from Thanksgiving. Nebraska beats Iowa. And you're in Indy. And you got Michigan or Ohio State staring you down. I'd love to see Sparty, personally. If you win the Big Ten, does the mullet get a ring too? That's my question. We'll all pass the hat around here. I mean, he is growing the mullet till they lose. Then it's chop chop time. That'd be sad. Excited to talk with Jack Stoll. Stay tuned for that. Coming up around 5:25, we'll hear from Brandon Vogel. HailVarsity.com and Magazine will join us at Brandon L. Vogel shortly. We'll get into hairstyles and influences with Vogues on top of football. And it's a Spa Lady Thursday. Weather's been awesome. I needed a spa out in Estes Park. I slept wrong, man, and I'm creaking like I'm 150. All right. Thanks for hanging out. A quick timeout, and back with you hour two with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. The mullet time is very soon. It is 5:25 exactly. We interview Jack Stoll's mullet. Kidding. We interview Jack Stoll. But before that, a guy that does not currently have a mullet, but I would venture to say had some sort of flowing courage in the late 80s, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, am I accurate? Did we have a long hair Motley Crue tribute phase?
Does a rat tail count?
Yes.
That definitely happened. That's about as close as we got.
You sound sad and ashamed that we're talking about rat tails, my friend.
No, I mean, you know, it was a choice that I made, and I'd do it again, I guess, if I could, but I can't.
I've got a hair confession before we get into important things like football, and I have confiscated all of these pictures, okay? But from a hair standpoint, I had the flat top. I was a 13-year-old prednisone taking Sharpay. I looked like a Sharpay. I was a blubber, just a blubbery mess at age 13. The wonderful years of junior high, but I had lines in my hair like Jack Stoll has, and I had I had a Cubs jersey on and a giant gold chain, and my wife put those up on the Christmas tree one year for everyone to see, point and laugh, and now they're incinerated, sir.
Oh, those didn't make it back in the Christmas box after that year?
No. We called Uncle Lewis over and had him light a cigar, and there it went. Lots to get to with Nebraska football. Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues, the theme of today is toughness, and I can think of many different pickup truck commercials, right, when we think about toughness, like a rock or maybe an old Milwaukee commercial, guys catching their food. And I look at Nebraska football, and it's one thing to talk, that, oh, got to be tough. The action has been put in place, and what type of toughness jump do you believe Nebraska can make in 2019?
Well, all those truck commercials seem to involve dropping way more weight than you'd ever feel comfortable dropping in the bed of your truck if you spent $40,000 on it. The truck always bounces back. And I think that's kind of what you hope to see from Nebraska. And I do think they're a lot more capable, a lot farther along, a lot better able to kind of have that bounce back. You know, we started to see it over the second half of the season in particular. You know, Coach Frost mentioned the Michigan State game as a good example of that. And I think that is one. You know, that was a pickup truck commercial kind of game. You know, the conditions were rough and tumble. It wasn't pretty. Nebraska wasn't able to kind of put its best foot forward offensively. You know, those normally aren't conditions that I think are favorable for this kind of offense. And they still found a way to get it done with three field goals. And I think I think the hope is that Nebraska will be able to produce more of those games. And I think they are better able to do that this year. And I thought Frost did a pretty good job of explaining just what a difference year two makes in being able to do that.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. So the Hail Varsity mailbag, I love reading through it, and the crew does such an amazing job with it. When it comes to fall storylines, toughness, yes, because that's what Coach Frost touched on. Health of Cam Jurgens, the availability of Mo Washington, and then you've got your group of plenty, right? Your wideouts and your defensive linemen. If you're to circle one of these storylines that you're going to be kind of drilling down on, which is it?
For me, it's Jurgens on that offensive line, and you know, and we already got some news on that front from what came today. He's going to be on, so we know he's healthy enough / I think important enough to what Nebraska hopes to do that they're not taking him off the 110, which means he's able to be part of these early practices, but we also know he's, you know, dinged up enough he's not starting out at the top of that depth chart. Will Farniok is. So I think a lot of eyes probably turn to Will Farniok in the weeks ahead, because that's a pretty important part of the offensive line. And that one, you know, based on how the coaches have talked about Jurgens this offseason, is kind of, maybe I'm putting too much into it, but it seems kind of like an important part of what this offense might be capable of. So I'll keep my eyes trained there. It was kind of enough of an answer that we know that Jurgens hasn't been ruled out yet, but he's also not your kind of day one of fall camp first guy snapping the ball. So I think that's pretty significant.
With his injury history and the decision to move him, how far behind do you think he is from being able to contribute? I obviously you gotta play and get reps, but if you're switching spots, you're at square one, right? And you look at a guy like Farniok or a Hickson, they've been playing other positions too. I mean, is everybody at the same starting line despite this injury and the setbacks that Jurgens has had?
I think pretty close to it. You know, with Jurgens, the sort of athletic ability, the pure talent, that he brings to that spot was obviously something they felt highly enough of to move him from tight end. And you're never getting around that. But in terms of actual experience of knowing what it looks like to line up against a defensive front like Wisconsin's or Iowa's or Michigan State's, no current center on Nebraska's roster has that. And so from that degree, that's significant, and you're just not getting around that part of it. So you do have a little bit of, everyone seems to be impressed by what Cam Jurgens could be, but it still doesn't change the fact that there's really no centers who are likely to be day one starters who have done that in the Big Ten before. And you know, Nebraska's got three games to get to that point, but the Big Ten's a tough league defensively and offensively on the lines. And you got to have somebody who's capable of dealing with that. And that's a question that even when we get to the end of fall camp, no matter who it is, you're not going to be able to answer for Nebraska. And that's a pretty big deal.
Brendan Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogels, let's go to the top 25. Talk to Babers about this. What's your take? Shocked at all that Coach Frost did not vote Nebraska in the top 25?
No, not shocked from the perspective of Frost putting them in there. I thought Nebraska would sneak in there. You know, that said, it wasn't enough of a slam dunk to when they end up essentially 26. Didn't really surprise me. You know, the coaches poll is always interesting in that, in theory, it should be the most informed poll about college football teams that we have, but practically, those coaches don't have a ton of time spent on that. You know, how much time did James Franklin or Jeff Brohm spend on their preseason coaches poll over the past couple of months? I don't know. Maybe they're way into it, but that's always kind of the thing with the coaches poll. I'll be interested now in a couple of weeks to see if Nebraska does slide in there with the Associated Press poll. I'd kind of be surprised if they didn't, actually, you know. So if we set 26 as the coaches poll, there's usually a couple of spots of wiggle room there for between that and the AP poll. So Nebraska's probably coming in at 23, 24, 25 then in the Associated Press poll, or they might be a little bit farther down the list of teams receiving votes. That's a possibility too, but you know, all things considered, yeah, it would be nice to kind of end the streak, which, you know, still goes back to 2014 of the last time Nebraska was in any preseason poll. But practically speaking, it's not a bad spot to be just on the outside. That means people kind of respect and see what you're doing. But you also get to stalk the pace a little bit from there. You win a couple of games, you're in the top 25 then.
Is this team, say it all pops for them. Say they start out on fire, it's game day, it's Ohio State, they get that done. Do you feel good about the team's maturity as a whole, handling success? A lot of guys haven't had a chance to handle it. I mean, you have to go back to 9-4, right? 2016. And even then, it was an undefeated start and then a 2-6 finish, right? So the fact is Nebraska wins some of these games, say they do well out in Ralphie land, and then they handle Ohio State somehow, some way, and then all of a sudden you're the it team. Can they keep their priorities straight, not experiencing anything like this?
I think so. That is one thing that I don't really worry about with this staff, and then thus kind of this team, is being able to kind of clear those hurdles and keep climbing. You know, it's kind of an easy thing to say. In a lot of ways, it's easier to say when you're, you know, number 9 in the preseason poll to say, yeah, we don't care about that. We're just about getting better. And then sort of the proof is in the pudding. Nebraska isn't to that point yet, but they're getting enough buzz that people notice and ask about it. And, you know, it kind of goes back to where they are in those polls. Like, even if you were ready to get a full head so what? You're 26th, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, is that where you want to be? And I think, you know, the players, with the way they talked about it, with Jack Spoel saying, I didn't come here to go 4-8. And again, those are the things you're all supposed to say. But with this staff, you know, and with this team, you kind of believe it a little bit more, or at least I do. And, you know, it's been a while since Nebraska's been in a position to have to make those comments. But this time when they make them, I don't treat them as skeptically as I would most of the time with most teams.
Brandon Vogel's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Vogues, it's fan day in 12 minutes. Did you ever make it to a fan day in Lincoln?
I did, but just as a journalist. Never as someone who had to wait in line and do the thing. It was just too far away for us, I guess, where I grew up. So that is really my only exposure to it, is to kind of look at it and send a tweet like, man, this line is long. So
sure.
I feel bad for the people who were in that line, but also a good deal of respect to them, because that was not an experience that I had.
What's the weirdest thing you think Frost is going to be asked to sign? Because wasn't it a year ago, or somebody got asked to sign a baby? The story is getting clouded.
Yeah, I think anytime you're asked to sign a piece of flesh, be that your...
Hold on a minute. Not all flesh is bad, Brandon.
Well, I mean, you know, some people go and get them tattooed, which I guess, like, you know, that makes it kind of, at least you have a plan. There's some foresight there. But yeah, you know, whether it's your baby or whether it's your own arm, that always has got to feel a little bit weird, at least from afar. I can't say that I've ever been asked to do that, but that one always strikes me as, it's way easier to sign a helmet than sign somebody's quadricep.
That's true. And autograph. Give me an autograph story. Who's the most famous autograph you've gotten or went up and like kind of you ran into and said, "Hey, I'm Brandon. Will you sign this for me?"
Well, the most famous person that I've gotten an autograph from is definitely Shaquille O'Neal. Played an exhibition game against the Minnesota Timberwolves before his rookie season in Rapid City, South Dakota. Ooh. He came out in a full length, the Rapid City Civic Auditorium or Civic Center, whatever it was called at the time.
Pearl Jam played there.
Yep, came out in a full length black leather coat with the Superman logo on the back. He was a giant human then, as he is now. And I was just among a group of people trying to get his autograph. He grabbed my program, signed it on the wrong side. So it's on like the roster page over some like random guy from the Minnesota Timberwolves in 1993, whatever it was.
Tom Gugliotta.
Not even that known, but Tom Gugliotta, Tom Gugliotta-esque is how I would describe where Shaq's signature is, opposite of a full-page photo of himself. I kind of had to fight a guy. Somebody almost tried to, not literally fight, but wrestle with a guy to get that autograph, because if Shaq signed it, then everyone started grabbing for it. But that's the most famous one that I have in my possession.
That is good. Brandon Vogel, not at Fan Day, but telling us about signatures, at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogues will harass you for the weekend edition Saturday. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
All right. Well, send us a picture of that Shaq program, all right?
All right. I'll see if I can track that down.
Beautiful. Thanks, Vogues. Appreciate you, man.
Later.
Reed Vogel, hot reads every morning with HailVarsity.com. Find him on Twitter, at Brandon L. Vogel. Mullet time, Jack Stoll up next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Jack Stoll's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jack, camp gets kicked off tomorrow. How jacked are you?
you know, we're all excited. You know, it's that one time of year where all you got to worry about is football. That's it. You know, you're here in the morning till night, and you know, you got no school, so you know, it's really just a great time of the year.
How about juggling school and summer workouts? How was that?
You know, that was great. You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, obviously just having being enrolled in one class, you have a lot more flexible of a schedule, a lot more time to, you know, get all the tight ends together, specifically get the offense, get the whole team together, kind of get some workouts going. And you know, that's exactly what we did. You know, a lot more time in the film room, a lot more time, you know, dedicated to our craft, I should say. And you know, it's just one of those deals. It was really exciting to see the progress we made this summer.
Tell me about the tight end room. I mean, you've performed well here. You've also got other tight ends, and within this offense, how exciting can it be? How difficult can it be for a defense to try and check you guys?
Absolutely. You know, I always say, you know, as the tight ends, I think we're the most versatile position on the field, whether that's running routes, being asked, you know, stay in, you know, run block, or, you know, really catch a screen. You know, we're asked to do it all. So, you know, someone on the defense has to be just as versatile. And, you know, we pride ourselves in, you know, being just as good, if not better, as, you know, every tight end group in the nation. You know, personally, I do think we have the potential to be the best tight end group in the nation. So, you know, it's just really exciting, you know, to see, you know, all the progress we've made, you know, in every facet. You know, everyone, you know, has their strengths, but it's also really awesome to see everyone, you know, get stronger in some of their weaknesses and become really, really great, just an all-around tight end.
When it comes to the offense and the scheme and having a quarterback like Adrian, how difficult is it? I mean, do you see the mismatches? Yes, you'll see it on a whiteboard or you'll see it in film, but do you notice that stressing? Did you notice it stressing defenses towards the end of last year?
Absolutely. You know, Adrian's an unbelievable ball player. He's one of those kids, you know, if he doesn't see something, you know, if someone doesn't run the right route, he can always scramble and end up getting the first down himself. And, you know, he'll end up talking to the dude, you know, kind of telling him, hey, you got to clean it up. And, you know, he's just one of those guys. He's just a gamer. And, you know, that's really tough for defenses to defend, you know, because he's got an unbelievable arm. He's got legs where, you know, he can make plays when he needs to. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. I mean, I'm sure if I was a defensive coordinator, I'd stay up at night trying to think of how we're going to stop him. So, you know, it's unbelievable to have a guy like that on our team. And, you know, especially someone who's as good of a kid as Adrian is. And, you know, it's just really exciting to know, you know, the rest of my career, I'm going to have him.
Jack, still a couple more minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. You've got that connection. What's the process like to earn his trust? It's one thing to be open. It's another thing to get the ball on 3rd and 8.
Absolutely. You know, I think most of it is just, you know, being willing to, you know, do everything in the offseason, you know, whether that's make it to routes, you know, just get used to catching the ball with him, you know, just kind of developing that chemistry, doing stuff like that. And so, you know, I really think that's something that, you know, everyone in the tight end room has prided themselves in, you know, making sure we're getting some extra work. And, you know, anytime you're getting extra work, you know, people are going to see that. And, you know, it'll definitely show when this fall camp rolls around, because, you know, I think the tight end room is someone, you know, we're gonna be making a lot of noise this year.
Is there a point in your career where you kind of turned the corner confidence-wise, knowing you can play at this level, knowing you can play in this league, or did you always kind of have it?
You know, I definitely think it's one of those, I always believed, you know, I definitely did have it, but, you know, I don't think it really ended up showing until, you know, honestly, the last year when Riley was there. You know, obviously, unfortunately, we were ended up losing a lot of games by a lot, but I mean, that meant I could go in and, you know, get some reps. And, you know, it was kind of during that time, I could, you know, I think I kind of solidified in my head, hey, you know what, I can play at this level. And then, you know, I kind of rolled on that confidence and kind of kept that going through the next year. And then, you know, just kind of steamrolled from there. And then it kind of gets to the point where, you know, you 100% know you can play at this level. And I think that's a great feeling. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it helps you confidence wise. And, you know, I wouldn't say it ever really 100% came to me. I think it's something, you know, you definitely have to work for, where it's, you know, every rep you take in the weight room, every extra rep you take on the field, you gain that confidence that solidified.
What's your role on this team? Obviously, we know what you've done as a blocker and a receiver, but from a personality standpoint, what do you want to give to your teammates?
You know, it's definitely one of those deals where, you know, whatever the coaches are asking of me, and, you know, right now it looks like, you know, being a little bit more of a leader is definitely something. That's something, you know, I've definitely tried to do this summer. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm not going to sit here saying I've succeeded. Hopefully that's what other players are thinking. But, you know, especially just going out there and, you know, because leading by example really just isn't enough. You know, that's what everyone should do. I wouldn't even classify that as being a leader. That's just what you're doing, the right thing. And, So, you know, if that's just being more vocal, you know, spending more time with some guys, you know, trying to get them to help them to know the offense, stuff like that. So, you know, I've definitely tried to step up and do that. You know, hopefully that's what the players are seeing.
Was that difficult for you? It's one thing to want to say something to a guy. It's another thing to say something to somebody. And then there's the how you say something to somebody.
Absolutely.
Where have you gone in that journey as far as the vocal leadership and being comfortable not ticking somebody off?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's part of it is you just got to be okay with ticking someone off every now and then. Not everyone's going to be taking, you know, someone saying, hey, you got to do this better. You can't be doing that. They're not going to take it well. So, you know, I think that's something that, you know, it was just a little bit of an adjustment, you know, especially going from, you know, from Coach Riley's staff to Coach Frost's staff. I went from the youngest tight end to the oldest just like that within a matter of a couple weeks. So it's one of those deals where, you know, I was just thrown into that role real quick. And, you know, you just kind of got to learn by being tossed into the fire. And like I said, you just can't really worry about, you know, someone getting upset by that. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're making the team better. You're making that player specifically better. And, you know, if they don't like me for a few days, oh, well.
They'll get over it. Last thought, and I know it's been talked about, but the mullet. We got to go there.
Oh, yeah.
The inspiration behind it. Where did it start?
You know, it was just me and Reed Carroll sitting in a marketing class. And, you know, we kind of got to talking about mullets. And next thing you know, we both started growing one. And I don't think the back of the hair has seen a clipper since February 2018. So, you know, it's been a year and a half now.
Do you get your mullet a birthday gift?
Man, I'm telling you, that's where we draw the line right there. We're not giving any gifts to it.
You know the date, so.
Hey, I can tell you the month about, yeah, February 18. There's no birthday gifts necessary for that one.
You got lines. Is this, did you ever watch the ESPN 30 for 30 on the Bosworth?
I did. I have seen the Bos. Oh, yeah. You know, it wasn't truly inspired by him, but, you know, hey, if I'm looking like him, I'll take it. He was a hell of a football player.
Jack Stoll, best to you, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
There we go, Jack Stoll, no comment from the mullet, and they were in marketing class and said, let's grow one of these. And some people can pull it off, some can't. I know it's talked about a lot, but if you can fire it up, you go for it. And now you're doing the lines. I mean, why not? And by the way, he's a hell of a good football player, so the legend of the Stollet explained right there. I think I weirded him out asking him if he got his mullet a birthday gift. But he was able to, like that, say February 2018 is when we started growing. It's kind of like a chia pet. So I don't know that it was wrong to ask if you get your mullet a gift. I mean, John Daly feeds and waters his daily, no pun intended, I promise you. Or at least he used to. So, Fan Day is now underway. Fan Day, 1983. I remember it like it was yesterday because my father was obsessed and probably still is with the 83 Huskers. Still has tapes, VHS and beta, against Oklahoma. That's where I first saw Switzer smoking on the sideline. It was raining, too. He's putting it out on Owen Field, AstroTurf. Had the 84 Orange Bowl heartbreak. Has, like, the season highlights from Channel 3 or 10-11 or something. But that's where, like, that was it. Like, 83, scoring explosion. This is the year. Chris, do you like football? Don't know yet, Dad. Get in the car. You mean the van? Get in the car. So we head down, and it's hot and sticky, but somewhere there's signed Rogier Fryer Gill. Boom. And it was cool. He thought it was awesome. Then he took me down 5 or 6 years later on Fan Day. Still have this football somewhere. The Mission, Broderick Thomas, Steve Taylor. Got both of them. And Broderick Thomas, the Sandman, best dude ever, happiest guy ever, phenomenal player. like to talk it, but there was a little kid in front of me that didn't have hands. And Broderick spent, I can't tell you how many minutes with him. And then what he asked the kid, do you want to know what it feels like to score a touchdown? Because I'm a defensive player. I want to know what it feels like too. So he put the kid on his shoulders and got up and then ran to the end zone and back. And the kid loved it. And we're all sitting there, age 10, 12 years of age, going, wow, this guy, before we understood it, he completely gets it. Just there was, I don't want to even say responsibility, but just having a heart like that made the kid's year. So Fan Day is special, and we kind of joke, and maybe I'm guilty of rolling my eyes at if you show up with a trunk full of gear to get signed and you're beyond junior high. I don't think that's cool because it's for the kids. But overall, man, it is so cool to see this football program in this state turn out like they do. And lawn chairs were being set up. So we are leaving the press conference. And there will be reports on HailVarsity.com and HailVarsity Twitter as far as how long that frost line is. So no one asked him today, should have. Did he have to ice his wrist? I mean, the guy signed like 1,200 8x10s. Did he have to ice his wrist? How long is the line for Adrian? How many people get a chance to get a selfie with Wandale? I mean, it's pretty good. But does Jack Stoll's mullet have its own umbrella to stay out of the sun? I don't have the shades up. I can't tell if it's still sunny out or not. We'll check in. A little NFL update on the way. Zeke is still in Cabo. And Mr. Gordon wants to be traded. The old scene from Slapshot. Trade me right now. Hang up. Well, Melvin Gordon wants out of Poltergeist Land. I about said San Diego. It's L.A. Keep telling myself. It's year two. Hail Varsity rolls forward, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. We say hi to Deb, the spa lady. She is smiling because it's football season again for Nebraska and for her Kansas City Chiefs. Deb, are you, well, the weather's been very pleasant, so you can keep that temperature right there in the middle, can't you? How are you?
Yeah, that's a great idea, and I think people don't realize that you don't have to have your spa as a hot tub. It can be warm. You can cool it down and enjoy the evenings when it is so nice out and maybe a little on the hot side, but then adjust the temperature when the temps start to they get lower and lower. So a spa is year round. It doesn't have to be just in the cold winter. You can enjoy it. You can exercise year round.
Deb, the spa lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. Home Innovation Spa is also off Industrial Road in Omaha. SpasOnline.com. Deb, the top 20 25 came out, Nebraska just missing the cut. Give me your top five spas. You can give me 25, but give me five.
Number one is the swim spa, the Trainer 15. That's the 15 foot long. The next one would be an 8 foot spa with 67 jets,
67.
Either with a lounge or no lounge. And then probably the biggest seller right now is a 7-footer with 39 jets, lounge or no lounge. That is an awesome price, and it's going to be ready for the state fair. Come in and take a look at it and make a deal before the fair, and we can get it there. So when you get to the fair, your feet are hurting, your back's hurting, you can come home and hop in it.
Well, think about eating a corn dog in a hot tub.
Oh, yeah. Corn dog, anything. If you get a little sticky, on your hands, you just wash it off there in your hot tub.
That's what the jets are for.
That's right.
Deb, I got to ask you. You're going to be another main attraction at the fair. Give folks a heads up about the fair and where they can see you.
Well, this will be our 29th year at the fair. So we'll be in the exhibition hall, as always, and out in the market square. But this year, they've really improved the market square. It's gotten bigger and even better. So either location, come out and find me. I'll be there. So just stop in and say hi if you want to.
Deb, hours for you. If folks want to catch you in Lincoln, and just give them a rundown for the weekend setup as well.
Okay. We're here Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and then we're open on Saturdays, 10 to 4.
Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, and off Industrial Road in Omaha. Deb, can't wait for another football season with you. We'll see you at the fair, and thanks for a few minutes.
Okay, Chris. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
There she is. Corn dog in a hot tub. Yes? You're a state fair guy. You grew up in that North Dakota-Minnesota border. You probably hit the fair a ton, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Every year.
Yeah?
Great Minnesota get-together.
Okay, so what is the main attraction at the Minnesota Fair?
Ooh, fried Twinkies or like Snickers. Ooh, those, ooh. I mean, like straight death, but they're great.
Oh, good. How many of you hit in one sitting?
I probably
You're
have a little
You're a skinny kid. Your metabolism still is phenomenal.
I don't know if I've hit more than one, but the corn dogs, there are corn dog places. Also, there's like cookie places that you can get like gallon pails of chocolate chip cookies that are like fresh out of the oven.
Ooh.
Terrible for diabetes.
Dude,
who cares? Waistlines, but
you know what?
It's great.
Man, I got to get me a fair corn dog. I go see Deb. And mustard, no ketchup, or just plain on the corn dog.
Ooh. You got to go mustard and ketchup. Just mustard. I don't know.
Mustard and ketchup.
No way to go wrong.
Funnel cake, you know? And this is the worst story, but the best story about my father of the year candidacy. But I took Junior to the fair one time. Actually, I rode along. Aaron took him to the fair. But he's like 4, all right? And he's got a funnel cake. And thankfully, he let it cool. And he puts his face in the funnel cake, so he's covered in powder. And I kid you not, he looks up to me in front of my in-laws. And he's like, look, Dad, Scarface. And that's horrible that he was around when I was watching Scarface, but it was kind of funny. It was powdered sugar. Let's talk Melvin Gordon. Let's talk the Chargers back. And, you know, Nebraska fans are like, oh, God, that guy. Yeah, that guy. Melvin Gordon had a good career, but he's been injury prone. And he's demanding a trade right now. Listen, if you're an NFL team and you can go get Melvin Gordon, do you go do that? Or do you try and find a fifth-round dude that makes your team, you have a good offensive line, and bang, you have a 1,000-yard rusher because you have good talent at the back spot and a good offensive line. The value is just not great for running backs in the NFL. Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott, how does it get treated here? If you're saying L.A., swear jar, if you're L.A., do you cave to him, even though he's missed time? Can you win without him? Phillip Rivers and your wide receiving core is still phenomenal. Zeke, you're Dallas. You can't pay everybody, right? Dak, your wide receivers, Amari. What do you do? Your defense has kept you in games last year. We'll wind out a Thursday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer. And big thanks to Brandon Vogel today and Mr. Mike Babcock. Jack Stoll, Husker tight end, joined us this hour. Podcast going to be up on HailVarsity.com and iTunes. Will's going to chop up some of the best audio, the sights and sounds for our two-minute drill on the SoundCloud and the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. That's coming up. So if you missed part of the show, take us with. We're convenient. You go into the treadmill. God bless you. Or you're taking the dog for a walk, or you just want to kick it and listen to some Husker football thoughts with Hail Varsity Radio, do so. Log on, HailVarsity.com, the Honda of Lincoln fan poll. The question is pretty awesome. Which 2019 transfer do you expect to have the biggest impact for Nebraska this season? Darian Daniels? Dedrick Mills? I always screw up Dedrick or Dedrick. We'll call him Mills. And then Noah, the wideout that's in from Cal. So you can vote on that question on HailVarsity.com. Emails, Chris at HailVarsity.com. I did not get to those today. Forgive me. We'll get to more of them tomorrow. You can also tweet, follow Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, at Willie underscore Bauer. If you're in Lincoln, go see your pals, The Beer Show, Rob Kelly, Liz, Nick Gregeth, they are stationed for you down at Granite City near Gateway. If you are out of Lincoln hearing us on our lovely affiliates, make the trip sometime into Lincoln for the beer show out at Granite City. They have a heck of a good time, and they'll make sure you're not thirsty. So tomorrow on the program, the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, will join us. Who else do we got? Danny Burke. Burke's Best Bets. We're going to make that happen tomorrow. We're going to rip him away from a guy named Musburger. He'll give us 10 good minutes, I pray. And we'll come up with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Moore. We are set. So do we have time for some Lamar Jackson? Do we have a little bit? Lamar Jackson still looks like he is ready to play on Sundays. Lamar Jackson is confident, and you want that out of your corners. But above all, with Lamar Jackson, you want to see it every Saturday, like the last few Saturdays. And the emphasis, you know, will be on interceptions, getting the offense that football back.
We all kind of know that. We play DB, so we kind of, at the end of the day, we know the ball is the most important thing. When the ball is in the sky, we all want it. You know what I'm saying? It's either the deflection or pick, but the pick is the money. I mean, we always talk about it, making fun of it. If you drop a ball, just even in a drill, we need 15 push-ups. And that's just trying to just emphasize the fact that it's just natural. Like, when the ball touches your hand, you need to take it, because at the end of the day, that can change everybody's life. I mean, you get a whole bunch of picks, that can change that. In one season, you can jump everybody in the country. You never know. You might lead the country in picks. You might lead the conference. To pick, it don't really matter. So at the end of the day, picks and stuff like that is, of course, important, because that's turnovers, giving the ball back to offense, allowing them to go put some more points on the board. And just picks and turnovers and stuff like that is going to help us win games.
He is a motivated guy, man. He wants that Sunday opportunity. But before that, he's got to show it on Saturday. Every Saturday. Good stuff. Will Bauer, thank you. Beer Show in Lincoln is next. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.